want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries. Well, I want to thank God for everyone tuning into the broadcast today. It's a beautiful day here in North Texas. I am going to be speaking on the knowledge of the truth. Father, I just give thanks for all men and for all that are in authority. I thank you for President Trump. I thank you for your spirit resting upon President Trump, on Vice President J.D. Vance, upon the House, the Senate, the Congress, the courts of this land, the police officers. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel. I pray you pour out upon your people a spirit of wisdom and revelation and open their eyes and give them a revelation of what Jesus did on the cross. All right, let's get started. Turn to 1 Timothy 2:1 if you would, or you can just listen in. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now that's what I just did. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. If you're praying for the authorities, you're practicing the faith. That's part of practicing the faith. Now verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Turn to John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. All right, so God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and it's the knowledge of the truth that sets us free. All right, turn to John 1:29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He took away the sin nature. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. As God takes that sin nature out of you, and as you get a revelation of this gospel, put this word in your heart, he'll make you the righteousness of God. The very righteousness of God. Okay, so Jesus became sin and made us righteous on the cross. And the knowledge of what Jesus did for us on the cross will set you free as it's revealed to your heart. And then, of course, God's got to bring you to repentance of each sin. Now, let me say this. There are certain sins you can just put out of your life as soon as you come to the Lord. But others you're enslaved to. And only by God working his spirit and power in you will you ever get set free from that. And the power to set you free is in the gospel. All right? Okay, let's look at Jesus on the cross. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? From the words of my roaring. Okay, why did God forsake Jesus right here? And of course, everyone's familiar with this. These are the words of Jesus as he was hanging on the cross. And at this point, this is why God forsook him. At this point, the sin of the world was placed upon Jesus, and God forsook him, and because Jesus was taking our place. Now, look, as we read the next scriptures, look at how Jesus kept using his faith for God to deliver him. Jesus knew what the scriptures said, and he knew he was going to die. He knew, just keep believing God, and God will raise me from the dead, God the Father. And you know what he also knew? That by doing this, he was going to save the whole world. He knew it. Verse 2, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. Okay, Jesus praying to the Father in faith. And just consider the situation he's in. He's hanging on the cross. He's already had a crown of thorns on his head. He was whipped with a Roman lash. He had his hands and his feet nailed to the cross, and he's praying to the Father in faith. Our Father's trusted him. They trusted now just deliver. You know what you need to realize when you're doing that? The Spirit of Christ is in you when you've received Jesus. Same Spirit. All right? Go to verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. Now, what Jesus is describing is strong evil spirits that are coming against him. Now, hold your place there in Isaiah. Turn to Luke 22:52. Then said Jesus unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour. And look at this, the power of darkness. Now, it's referred to in the scripture, the devil and evil spirits are the power of darkness. Jesus said, it's your hour and the power of darkness have come upon me. Then took they him, led him, brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. Okay, back to Psalm 22:13. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. He's talking about the powers of darkness. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. Now, all these pictures you've seen of Jesus hanging on the cross, that is religious tradition. The Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified for our sins, this is described him right here. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. I was ministering to a woman one time over the phone, and she said, God is really ministering to me. And I said, yeah, he's ministering to your heart. I said, do you feel the power of God in the lower part of your stomach? And she goes, yes, I do. I said, that's where your heart is. And I said, it's written in Psalm 22 about your heart being in the midst of your bowels. Anyway, I believe when all the sin of the world was placed upon Jesus and the sickness of the world and all those evil spirits were coming against Jesus, then that's what caused, and we see it right here, that's what caused all his bones to come out of joint. My strength, verse 15, is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and that was brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Now, this is clearly still talking about Jesus on the cross. See, all his bones came out of joint. And here's another scripture says his bones came out of joint. Verse 17, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. Okay? Verse 18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vestures. Now, we saw the soldiers doing that. But be not now. He's still praying in faith to the Father. This is the strength of the Spirit of Christ, and that Spirit is in you when you receive Jesus. All right? All you got to do is be crucified with Christ so that Spirit can live through you. See, that's the problem of the church. They read that scripture, I received Jesus, Spirit of Christ in me, lives through me. Not until you're crucified with him. See, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And God gave me the revelation. When you put to death the old man through water baptism and continue to reckon him dead, put him off, and walk in the faith, the more he passes away, the more the Spirit of Jesus Christ will live through you. Right now, you receive me walking the flesh because all that sin in you is ruling you. Okay, be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Okay, so Jesus crying out to the Father, deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorn. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Isn't that wild? Jesus is prophesying about how after he's raised from the dead, he's going to praise God in the midst of the congregation. So Jesus hanging on the cross, and he as his bones come out of joint, he becomes disformed. He's full of all our sin is on him. He's cut off from God, but he keeps believing that after I die, I'm going to be raised again. Okay, so Jesus believed. He believed all that was written about him, and it was his spirit, the Spirit of Christ and the prophets of old foretelling of these events. Okay, turn to Isaiah 52:13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted, extolled, and be very high. Okay, this is talking about Jesus being exalted. Now, hold your place there and turn to Luke 24:25. Then he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. This is Jesus talking to his disciples after he's raised from the dead. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory, enter into his honor? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Okay, back to Isaiah 52:14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Let's read the International Standard version of that scripture. Just as many were astonished at you, so he was marred in his appearance more than any human, in his form but beyond that of human semblance. Let's read that in the Complete Jewish Bible. Just as many were appalled at him because he was so disfigured that he didn't even seem human and simply no longer looked like a man. This is the description of Jesus on the cross, who was marred, disfigured more than any man. He didn't even look like a man. Why? All his bones came out of joint on the cross. You know, there are 206 bones in the human body, and every bone of Jesus' body was dislocated. That's why he had no form. Turn to Psalm 41 and hold your place in Isaiah. Verse 8, look what they said when they saw this happen. An evil disease, say they, cleave fast him. Now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Now that he's died, he shall rise up no more. You know, there's one place where it says in the Psalm, I forgot where it is, it says, I cannot look up or something. And what it's saying is Jesus was blind. He went blind on the cross too. You say, how did that happen? All those powers and principalities and the sickness of the world. See, blindness came upon him. Our blindness came upon him. Anyway, this in Psalm 41, verse 8, says, an evil disease, say they, cleave fast. Now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Now you say, well, how do you know this is talking about Jesus? Well, the next verse is describing Judas Iscariot. Yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, have lifted up his heel against me. I'm going to show you that. I'll show you this about Judas Iscariot. John 13:18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I've chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, that he that eateth bread with me have lifted up his heel against me. So this scripture is talking about Judas Iscariot. Now, I want to say something right here. Oh my gosh, I'm trying to hold back a sneeze. Have any of you ever thought, I hope I never come against the Lord like that? Well, let me tell you what you do. Because I was afraid when I first started reading the Bible, because there was rebellion in my heart and hate in my heart towards God. And, you know, I'll tell you, I've taught this, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 times about Jesus on the cross, about being what he went through. And numerous times my heart would break and I would start crying as I read this and as I was studying this. And I was so thankful to God, because my heart was so hard and against him. He was breaking my heart and setting me free. Do you know God will take a heart that's against him and change it and save you and cause you to love him? That's how kind and merciful he is. Anyway, what you need to do if you have any evil in your heart against God, and we all have some, it says in the Word of God, talks about enmity against God. That's being hostility towards God. And it says here that if you'll commit, we should commit our soul unto God as a faithful creator. Let me read that. 1 Peter 4:18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him, and well-doing is unto a faithful creator. This word scarcely means hardly or difficult. It's difficult to work out your salvation. Now, receiving Jesus to get saved is easy. Just say a prayer. I receive you, Jesus, my Lord and Savior. But working out your salvation or bringing it to completion, it's hard. It's difficult to get set free from the slavery of sin. Like I said before, there are certain sins I could just put out of my life since I received the Lord, because I feared God. And I said, okay, don't do that anymore. But other things I was enslaved to. So it's hard to overcome every sinful way about us. And, you know, people that don't see their sinful ways or don't have deep bonds, they don't really understand this. But anyway, you don't have to make it to perfection to go to heaven. Just keep the faith. Walk in the Word. But God is a faithful creator. He will deliver you from every sin in you that would cause you to come against him. and God will change your heart where you become his friend. And if you have any evil in you like Judas Iscariot, hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ and he will deliver you and he'll set you free from that evil and he'll change your heart to love him. He did that for me. Okay, back to Jesus on the cross. Or it's describing what happened to him. Isaiah 52:14, complete Jewish Bible. Just as many were appalled at him because he was so disfigured that he didn't even seem human and simply no longer looked like a man. Like I've been saying, it's a description, or let me say this. Not only is that describing Jesus on the cross, but I want you to see what's going on here. This is a description of people standing around the cross looking up at Jesus as he became disfigured before them. See, Jesus had a crown of thorns on his head, blood dripping down his face, and on his back he'd received 39 lashes from the Roman scourge. They ripped up his flesh. I'm sure he had blood all over. But Jesus still looked like a man as he was going to the cross. It was while he was hanging on the cross that the sin of the world was placed on him, sickness of the world was put on him, and he was taking our punishment that his bones came out of joint. He became disfigured. And so in Isaiah 52:14, these people were surely watching Jesus become disfigured in real time. All right? Now, I want to tell you how important it is to get this knowledge in your heart, because as you do, it will eventually become revelation knowledge. Then the faith will be there. And as you mix faith with what Jesus did on the cross, as you're praying, the power of God will manifest in your life and it'll start setting you free. This would be a good time. Let's put a song in, Via Della Rosa by Pamela Pontia. And, you know, Pam is one of the directors of my ministry. She is also a minister of music. So let's hear it. Via Della Rosa by Pamela Pontia.
Down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see a man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating, there were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Della Rosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Por la Via Dolorosa, tres días en Jerusalén, los soldados le abrían paso a Jesús. Mas la gente se acercaba para ver a que llevaba aquella cruz. Por la Via Dolorosa, que es la Via del Por la Via Dolorosa,
ao Calvário e a morir. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made its way to the heart of Jerusalem. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
Okay, turn to Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. You notice it's the entrance. It says the words get in your heart, it giveth light. I used to read that, and I'd read the Word of God, and I didn't have no light. Let's read that same scripture in the Christian Standard Bible. The revelation of your words bring light and gives understanding to the inexperienced. Let me tell you something. As this word gets in your heart, it'll become revelation. So keep putting the Word of God in your heart. Keep reading the Psalms. Keep reading the New Testament. Especially focus on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And I tell you what will also help you. Play anointed music as you're reading, because it ministers the Spirit. And you need the minute, you need, we all need all the ministry of the Spirit we can get. It'll help you get in faith too. Psalm 45:1, my heart is indicting a good matter. I speak of the things which I've made touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. See, read the Word of God out loud. And like I said, play anointed music in your house, place of business, and or wherever you can. And the anointing of the music will help your faith. It'll be like water on a dry ground. And you say, what's the dry ground? Our hearts. And your tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You can actually write the Word of God on your own heart. And as you do, it'll become revelation. And you know, if you want, the Word of God is called the incorruptible seed. And if you want to grow up your heart, keep watering it with the Spirit. Okay, so the revelation of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection will help you believe it in your heart. And as you do, the power of God will work in your life. Okay, we've been reading Isaiah 52, 14. Now go a few verses forward to Isaiah 53, 1. Who's believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Okay, the report of the prophets is all about the coming of the Just One, the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world. And Jesus of Nazareth is the one that Isaiah 53 is talking about. It says, when you believe this report, the arm of the Lord will be revealed to you. What is the arm of the Lord? Exodus 6, chapter 6, verse 5. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I've remembered my covenant. The children of Israel were in bondage to the Egyptians, like we in modern day were in bondage to the God of this world, principalities, powers, rules of darkness world, spiritual wickedness. You don't receive Jesus and immediately come out from under the influence of these spirits in your life. Okay, so here is the arm of the Lord bringing the children of Israel out of bondage, and the same arm of the Lord brings us out of bondage to the powers of darkness. Verse 6, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm of great judgments. Okay, the arm of the Lord is the power of God to deliver us from bondage and make us God's sons and daughters. Now, I know we become children you know, when we receive Jesus. But the power of God sets us free so we can walk in God's Spirit, so we can walk as sons and daughters of God. Verse 7, "And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out under the burdens of the Egyptians." Back to Isaiah 53. "Who's believed our report? Whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Okay, let's read that in the New Living Translation. "Who's believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm?" Amplified Bible. "Who's revealed, confidently trusted in, relied on, adhered to our message of salvation? And to whom, if not us, has the arm and the infinite power of the Lord been revealed?" Now, if you go on reading Isaiah 53, you'll see what the report of the prophets is. Let's read verses 4 and 5 in the Christian Standard Bible. "Yet he himself bore our sickness." That was Jesus on the cross. "He carried our pains." See, he wasn't doing that as he was walking around the earth. He did that on the cross. "But we in turn regard him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment of our peace was upon him, and we are healed by his wounds." You know, every human being on the face of the earth was healed when Jesus took our sickness on the cross. And as you get the revelation of that in your heart and believe it, the healing will manifest in your body. All we went astray like sheep, we all have turned our own way. And the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. Okay, Jesus dying for our sins, being raised again is just now. Take note, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is the power of God to deliver us from every bondage. It is the arm of the Lord. Go to Romans 1:16, New International Version. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jews and the Gentiles." New Living Translation. "I'm not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, Jew first and also the Gentiles." Now remember, you get saved and then you get come to the knowledge of the truth, and the knowledge of truth, you continue to be delivered. Okay? And I'll say this again. You have eternal life when you receive Jesus, because it says, "He that hath the Son hath life." You just have to stay in the faith to keep it. But there's an ongoing work of grace saving us from our sin and making us the righteousness of God. Okay? So as you continue to believe the gospel, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, God continues to work his power in your life, set you totally free, and make you righteous. And his power will bring a full salvation. All right? That's healing of our souls and bodies, healing of the brokenhearted. The power of God will deliver people from all types of mental illness. Power will bring financial prosperity. It brings safety to our life. God, as you walk with the Lord, he'll put his angels around you. Everything you ever need or want is included in the gospel. The word salvation is an all-inclusive word. It covers everything. Now, look at Habakkuk. I'm going to show you here in Habakkuk 2:14 is prophesying about the knowledge of the glory of God covering the earth. And that's God's power covering the earth. And God's power is the gospel. Let's read that. Habakkuk 2:14. "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Exodus 15:6. "Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, have dashed in pieces the enemy." You know, God wants to save everybody. But if you choose to be an enemy of God and you choose to be enemies of Christians and you won't repent, God will dash you in pieces. See, don't kid yourself. God is long-suffering, not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. But if you're so foolish that you'll stand up and try to resist the Almighty God, he'll run right over you. You're a fool if you won't humble yourself before God. And you're a fool if you think you're going to come against Christians and destroy them. See, and of course, the people in the religion of Islam, they're deceived. They think they are serving God. Well, you're going to find out the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that raised Jesus from the dead, is the true and living God. And you better not come against him or his people. Okay, God's right arm is the power is his power and his glory. It's Colossians. Let's look at that in Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who has delivered us from the powers of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. How? By his power, his glorious power. That glorious power is going to fill the earth. Now, we read in Exodus how the arm of the Lord brought the children of Israel out from under the burdens of Egyptians. And here, the power of God is delivering us out from under the authority of darkness as we believe the gospel. This knowledge that is going to fill the earth is the revelation of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and the salvation it brought to all the people of the earth. See, that's what's going to go forth. Habakkuk was prophesying about the gospel being preached all over the world. And let me tell you something. Faith is an assurance. It is a conviction. Faith convinces us of the knowledge of the truth. And then as we believe, we receive more of that salvation. The stronger your faith is, the more steady you can stay in your believing. See, and we inherit the promises of God through faith and patience. Patience is continuance. As you get your faith perfected, you can patiently endure until you get the promise. Look at Hebrews 6:13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply. So after Abraham patiently endured, he obtained the promise. See, and God has given us all these great promises, and our end of the bargain is to walk in the faith or practice the word of God. Then the Lord, as the Lord develops our faith so we can stay standing and believe, we get the promises. You know, and some people don't understand. They say, well, why didn't God just give us all the promises? Because he wants us to transform us into his very image, and that is brought about as we walk with him. It's that simple. See, the more you walk with him, the more you'll be turned from iniquities, the more you'll have your heart changed to love him and walk in one accord with him, and then he gets what he wants, and you get what you get, the blessing. See, God wants, what God is after is a people, a bunch of sons and daughters that love him. He already loves us, and he wants us to love him. And as we're transformed, as we let him set us free from our sin, he brings us into sonship, sons and daughters. Now, God will take care of you while you're developing your faith. And there's a lot of people who have done well financially and everything, but everybody's got problems. Everybody is in need of salvation, not just to go to heaven, but they're in need. They have different problems in their life. They have sadness. They have sorrow. They have physical sickness. And then there's people that have trouble with money. There's all kinds of problems. God wants to bring a complete salvation on you. You know, it was coming up in my heart Wednesday that the body of Christ will heal itself just like the human body heals itself. Look at James 5:16. And the reason I'm saying this, I believe God has shown me this, is because some of you out there, you feel like, man, I just can't seem to get the promise. Well, stay with the apostle and prophet's ministry, because we're going to be bringing forth Christians and the power of God. And we will help you. We will perfect that which is lacking in your faith so you can get the promise. We will minister that healing to you. And the power of God is going to be so great in the days to come. Everybody's going to get their needs met. You know, when God brought the children of Israel out of bondage, there was not one feeble person among their tribes. And that was the Old Testament. We're living under a better covenant. God, as he brings the body of Christ out of bondage, there is not going to be one feeble person, not one weak person, not one person lacking anything. All right? Look at James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See? We're praying. See, you know, I had one time where I was sleeping, and it just rolled right through my heart, tongues, other tongues. And I didn't just start praying. God just did it himself. The next day, I talked to my friend, and we were talking. He said, man, the wildest thing happened to me while I was sleeping. I said, what's that? He said, while I was sleeping, the power of God came on me, and I broke out in a sweat all over. God was setting him free from something. And that was the time that those tongues rolled right through my heart. And you know, I had one time where the power of God came on me while I was sleeping. See, this is not even my faith. You see what I'm telling you? That guy got set free, and it wasn't his faith. I got set free one time from a spirit God cast out of me, and the power of God came on me and took my body, and I felt a spirit come out of me, and it wasn't my faith. So some of you out there, you're going to get set free by other people's faith. You're going to get healed by other people's faith. God's going to purge your heart from sin. Now, you've got to make effort, because God's not going to do this. He's not going to do someone that won't practice the faith, someone that won't make effort to walk in this. But I want to encourage you with that if you're doing what you know to do, just keep looking forward to the days to come, because the power of God's going to grow great in the body of Christ. And I believe everyone will get healed. Everyone will get set free. And I believe as more and more people get a revelation of the death, burial, and resurrection, power of God working them will be healing and setting free other members of the body of Christ. Let me check for time here. We're probably, this worked out great. 30 minutes. That's what my goal is. I can't believe I got that much in 30 minutes. A lot of good stuff in this audio, in this broadcast. I encourage you to listen to it. Over and over, put the word of God in your heart over and over. Play anointed music. Keep reading that word. I want to encourage you. Sometimes you can't tell you're making progress, but because you haven't got this promise or this promise or this hadn't manifested in your life yet. But I encourage you to come back to this ministry. I'll show you how to take step by step and get results. Let's go ahead and say a prayer. I want to give an invitation. If anyone out there has never been saved, you've never been born again, and when you get born again, you don't get a whole new heart. That's just the start of getting your heart changed. And you stick around, I'll prove that to you scripturally. And it's very easy for me to prove it, because I can show you how it's written to born again Christians, people who have received the Lord Jesus Christ, all the changes that take place in their heart as they're walking with the Lord. So they didn't get a whole new heart when they walked God. And it's religious tradition that has taught this, and in many cases made the word of God of none effect. You know, and they take that scripture, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born not of the will of man nor the will of flesh, but of God. And they say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things become new. So they say, when you receive him, you're born again. When you're in him, you're a new creature. And they put all that together. But they're only taking a few scriptures and they're building a doctrine out of it. They're not taking the whole word of God. If they took the whole word of God, they could not teach that you got a new heart when you first received Jesus. Okay? And so if you stick around, if you have a heart that's humble enough to consider, you know, Paul said, consider what I say and the Lord give you understanding. If you humble yourself and say, you know what? I don't care if I've been taught that all my life. I'm going to consider what you say, and I'll walk you through the scriptures and I'll show it to you. And it says all the words of God are plain to him that understandeth. And once I lay it out there, it'll become plain. You go, oh my God, you're right. It's right there. It is. Okay, so if you've never been saved, you've never been born again, say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I just receive you as my Lord and Savior. You said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no other name under heaven among men but the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whereby we must be saved. So say this prayer. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I call upon your name. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I thank you that you died for me. You were buried. And you were raised from the dead. If you said that prayer and you meant it, Spirit of Christ has entered into you. We talked about the Spirit of Christ. It's a mighty spirit. And Jesus is God Almighty. When he walked the earth, he'd emptied himself of all his power and authority, and he walked as a man. He had to be crucified as a man. He had to take our place as a man. He never stopped being God. He just emptied himself of his power and his authority. So anyway, the Spirit of Christ has entered into you. If you said that prayer, and those of you out there that have already received Jesus, the Spirit of Christ in you, as you put to death the old man, Spirit of Christ will live through you, and you can stand up to anything. You can walk through anything. Look what Jesus did. He endured the cross. Now, he was able to taste death by the grace of God for all of us. Okay? But I'm just telling you, when you get crucified with Christ, where the Spirit of Christ lives through you, nothing can stop you. You can endure anything. You can go through anything and not be moved because your spirit is joined with the spirit of Jesus Christ when you receive him. And once get the flesh out of the way, the old man, then you can walk in faith. You can live by the faith of the Son of God and overcome everything. All right. That's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry and music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.